I was reading an article by a professor up at Boston College. He's a clinical psychologist. And he was saying that none of us is born whole. None of us is born whole. We start out incomplete. And we go through life, hopefully, growing, becoming more complete, more developed. But we're never fully formed. No matter how much we may grow, we are never fully formed. We always remain, to some extent, incomplete and vulnerable. Vulnerable. People can hurt us, or we can hurt ourselves. So how do people typically respond to this experience of incompleteness or vulnerability? And I think there are three primary ways we might respond, typically. First, we can be aggressive against those who would threaten us, those who expose to us our vulnerability. We can go after them and try to control the interaction so that it loses its power to hurt us. The second way is that we can isolate ourselves. We can back away from the threat, hide ourselves from it so that it can't hurt us anymore. Or, third, we can love more radically. We can seek greater intimacy. We can confront the vulnerability and accept it, open ourselves up, take even greater risk, and love more. We can be with the other. We can listen to the other. We can share ourselves more fully with the other. We can expose our weaknesses even as we share our strengths. And we do this because despite the risk, we have confidence that there is life as a result of this greater loving. There is light beyond the risk, beyond the possibility of hurt. So this psychologist says this is the way to psychological health. Not aggression, whether we're individuals or communities or nations when we feel threatened. Not isolation, not withdrawing from interaction with others, but loving even more radically, exposing ourselves even more courageously to the other. That's where the growth comes. That's where the development comes. Well, I suggest this is not only a way to psychological health. No surprise, it's also a way to spiritual health. What is good for our relationships with others also happens to be good for our relationship with Jesus. We Christians call this the Paschal Mystery. Right? You've all heard that term. It's our conviction that by moving through death, we come to fullness of life. It's the lesson that Jesus has taught us. The way to life is through this dying, through this accepting our vulnerability, even at the risk of being badly hurt. I think that's essentially what's going on with this man born blind talk about one who experiences being incomplete, if you will, at birth. Blindness being a symbol in the gospel for a lack of faith. And what does the man do but take a risk? He exposes himself to harm. In fact, he is badly harmed, but in the end, he encounters the person of Jesus, has a conversation with the person of Jesus, comes to faith, comes to relationship with Jesus, and recognizes not only who Jesus is, but who he himself is, now one who is called to relationship with the Lord. So we always choose life. We always seek the light, even when it might not be all that clear where to go. Because invariably it means moving into this area of risk, of vulnerability. And that's scary. What prevents us from being free to love more radically? What prevents us from saying yes to the call to life and light? Well, Ignatius would say it's attachments, right? St. Ignatius would say it's attachments or inordinate attachments. Those things that we have convinced ourselves that we can't possibly live without. An attachment is something that we have convinced ourselves that we can't live without at the expense of our happiness. But as Ignatius says, that's not really the thing that attachment has over us. It's what we believe, what we have convinced ourselves that thing can do. It's a false belief, in other words. I've told myself I can't get along without a drink after dinner. Or I can't get along without pornography. Or I can't get along without my iPhone. Or I can't get along without whatever it might be. Because if I have to let go of this, I'll be a miserable human being. It's not the fault of the iPhone. The iPhone doesn't have that power over me. I have given it power over me. Yours and my favorite author, Tony DeMello, says something about attachments. He says, in order to be genuinely happy, there is one and only one thing you need to do. Get rid of the attachments. When people stumble upon this self-evident truth, they become terrified at the thought of the pain involved in dropping their attachments. But the process is not painful at all, Tony says. On the contrary, getting rid of attachments is a perfectly delightful task if the instrument you use to rid yourself of them is not willpower or renunciation. Those are hard things, painful things. But sight, there's the man born blind again. He says, all you need to do is open your eyes and see that you do not really need the object of your attachment at all. That you were programmed, brainwashed, into thinking that you could not be happy or you could not live without this particular thing. An attachment isn't a fact. It's a belief. So with the man born blind, who received sight, who was able to seek the Lord with all things, without having anything holding him back, able to move through the dying, despite the fear, despite the risk, we, along with him, we pray for sight. We pray for clear vision, that we can see the Lord and desire him above all things. It's only the Lord to which we should be attached.